You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
First time shot comes in. Oh! Jay Cottrell with a screamer! I don't believe it! An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's match with Boston United from Saturday afternoon.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the men's team, later in the show we'll be hearing how the women's team fared in their league match with Northwich from Sunday afternoon. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week's news with the women's team, and the club have appointed Luke Podmore as Lee Sutton's successor as manager of the club's women's side. Luke, who was previously assistant manager of the club's women's team in 2012, has more recently managed Preston North End, where he guided the side to victory in the FA Women's Premier League plate in 2015. The club has also placed on record their thanks to former head coach Jay Astley, who managed the side to 5 out of 6 victories since he stepped up to act as interim manager in recent weeks. We wish Jay well for the future. In other news, and it's been a good week for the FC United youth team as they followed up Monday's 3-2 win against Altrincham by defeating Guiseley at Broadhurst Park on Wednesday afternoon by 2-1, a result which sees the youth team top of the table by 4 points. And finally, on Saturday, the cabin was officially opened by the club, which will primarily be used for community use as well as the club's academy. To find out more, Ben Hughes caught up with board member Nathan Ellis-Scott shortly after the official opening on Saturday afternoon.
Hello, Nathan. How's things?
Yeah, not bad.
What's your responsibility for those people who are unaware on the board?
My responsibility on the board is communications, community, development fund, the academy.
Now, your side of things, it's been quite influential in the last 4 months or so, particularly the community side. I mean, today we were recording this before the Boston match. The cabin is finally open.
Officially, yeah.
Officially open. And it's looking really, really good.
It
now,
is.
The cabin obviously got lost in the wash, so to speak, over the last 18 months or so. But that facility over there, that cabin with all the classroom space and that kind of thing, what's it going to mean for the club, especially on the community and the academy side?
Yeah, well, first of all, for the academy, it means our academy have somewhere to call home now, essentially. Somewhere that can build like a community feel, somewhere they can relax and also take part in the educational course. In terms of community, we've already started doing a youth club there on a Friday night, which it's growing, it's going out. We've got a steady stream of young people coming, attending that. We can start to put out more provisions of that nature. We can work with other members of the community.
Essentially, what it's done is, because we've got the classroom space downstairs,
yeah.
But essentially what it's done now is it's quadruple what we're capable of. And if you think of it like that, we've got 4 times the ability to offer community stuff. So it's...
Yeah, I was talking to Andy today again, and... really, the amount of ideas we've got just on the drawing board, it could be endless. We've got plans to do work with older members of the community, plans to do members of the younger members of the community, people not in educational training. As we owe something to our community, we should be engaging with as many groups in that community as possible.
Now, why is it important for FC United? I mean, it's a given that we've always been a community club, but we've always been a nomadic community club. How important is it now for FC United to properly drive the community side at Broadhurst Park?
Well, I'm going to be biased, but I believe it's the responsibility of everybody to aid and help their community that they belong to. There's no point in us moving in here and being completely detached and saying, oh, come to a game, give us your money, but other than that, go home and don't come back here. We want this place to be a hub of activity, a community activity, have a community feel about it. So we have women's groups on, we have all sorts of groups on. I want to have bridge clubs on. I work at a community centre now that has a Parkinson's group. Just the fact that we've got a facility now that's on a ground level means it's very easy to access, as opposed to having to come upstairs and stuff, which is going to be a big flag to a lot of people. It's also very visible from the road as well. I want people to come in and see the cabin and say, oh, what's that? Come in, have a look. You know, let's make it open to everyone. I mean, it's all good to say we're for the people, but let's be for the people, you know.
We mentioned the academy. It's also going to be the home to the academy. They play the matches here on a Wednesday.
Wednesday afternoon, yeah.
And it's now a place for them to not just meet up and talk and that kind of thing, but also it's an education facility for them as well. And it's something that we can grow.
Mm-hmm.
The academy itself, we've seen it now.
It's representing the team. Yeah.
After it being a bit of a centre of attention at the early part of the season, why can't we get youth players in the first team? Probably more out of necessity with injuries and that kind of thing. We've finally got a progression happening.
Yeah.
That's good for the academy as well. Yeah. You can now see players like Kieran Glynn, admittedly he's Hopwood Hall,
Sam Baird.
And Sam Baird and Michael Jones. Michael, you can see them playing now, and that must be good for the academy.
Yeah,
side of things.
I mean, as we always say, a visual piece of encouragement is fantastic, and for the other academy players to see that their peers are now being given contracts, that's a fantastic piece of encouragement in terms of sticking to your studies, working hard, getting your head down, and then you'll be rewarded for it. And I think that's what we need to build on. We need to build on that, because it can't just be a thing, well, we've got an academy, aren't we great? We've got to make it effective. We've got to make it mean something substantial. And I think we're seeing that on the pitch today.
And just a couple of things. I won't keep you for much longer. Just a couple of things. Development fund. Obviously, there was a call to arms a couple of weeks ago. You, as a board member responsible for the development fund, have you been blown away with the response that the fans have brought to the table?
Yeah, again, it's a thing where I shouldn't be shocked by it, but again, it did hit us. I mean, it just kind of shows what we are capable of doing. And I think when we moved into the ground, a lot of people, there was what everyone has described as a fundraising fatigue, because they look, move into the ground and think, oh, I've done it now. We've worked 11 years trying to build something and we've done it. We've done it, it's finished. But it's not finished, is it? And I think we need to be more proactive in letting people know it's not finished. What needs to be done? How can you help us do that? For instance, the ends of the stand. I think a lot of people think that's how it's going to be. A lot of people do when you talk to them. But those have to be finished. Those have to be finished, and we need to raise money to do that. The under the SMRE needs to be finished, and we've got options as to how to do it, but at the end of the day, it's down to us to put up the money as members
and
own the club.
And not just that, it's up to, well, George, for example, doing the quiz nights. It's superb, and Kushka and Malcolm doing their thing. It's all adding, and we mentioned it to Damien and Adrian a couple of weeks ago, but if you are a supporter and you were involved in things like, I don't know, the Curry Club that used to happen, or running the stall. Let's get the thing back on the road.
Yeah, I mean, one of the ideas behind creating the Development Fund Committee was to get a group of fans together just to shoot ideas, and let's make the fundraising a fan-led initiative, because the fans, members, owners are on the ground. They talk to people. What kind of things are we interested in? Let's do something like that. We've got a facility now. Let's use it. Let's fill up the bar.
And the branches as well, we should say. They've got
big
role. I spoke to you personally about this last week. There was a thriving branch scene a long time ago at this club.
Yeah.
It needs to come back. There needs to be a branch in every quarter of Greater Manchester and beyond.
Yeah. And we need to be active.
Nathan, thank you for joining us. Keep up the good work. It's excellent news about the cabin and what the cabin's going to bring to the club. The academy side of things as well is superb. So well done, Nathan. And on behalf of the listeners, have a good Christmas.
Yeah, you too, and everybody out there. Thank you very much.
Ben Hughes there speaking with FC United board member Nathan Ellis-Scott on Saturday afternoon. Very shortly we'll be handing over to the FC Live team to hear how FC United got on in their match with Boston United over the weekend. But before that, and with Christmas just under a week away, on Christmas Day this coming Sunday, the club will be opening up its doors to the homeless. To hear how preparations are going, Ben caught up with Andy Cheshire.
So we're now joined by Community Manager FC United. It's Mr Andy Cheshire. Hello Andy, how's things?
Very well, thank you, Ben. Yourself?
I'm all good. So this is the last home game before Christmas Day, and the club, with your help as well, we have to say, has come up with a super initiative, a really lovely initiative. How's preparations going for the Christmas Day event taking place here at Broadhurst Park?
We're prepared now. We've got the volunteer list sorted out. With more than 45 volunteers, and I said it the other day that we probably could have had treble that. We've had to turn quite a lot away, or at least signpost them to various charities like Lifeshare and that in the city that are opening their doors in the afternoon. We're trying to coordinate all the people coming from here to Lifeshare in the afternoon so they've got a positive experience all day as opposed just to being here. We're prepared. I mean, we've got a training session, informal training session at the ground on Tuesday night for those that are volunteering so they can set aside any fears they've got and what have you. So yeah, we're looking good. I've literally had confirmation this morning that we've now got 9 kilos of bacon, 10 kilos of milk and everything sorted, and I don't need to do any extra shopping, so we're good.
How are you finally organising this? I mean, there's an initial idea, but to me it seems like the whole thing's just snowballed, and the more people have heard about it, the more people and organisations are willing to help. Little things like the hairdressers, for example, yeah. and local butchers and that yeah. kind of thing. It must be really heartwarming.
It's been incredibly humbling, man, and I've been working on this for about 3 months, so the board knew about it for a couple of months, and since announcing it, I mean, I had planned for about 40 homeless people coming here and to just give them a very basic sort of experience, and it snowballed to the point where I couldn't have envisaged the amount of services that we've got here. 4 nurses, dentist, dental assistant, 2 hairdressers, I mean, cooked breakfast. I've got 30 kilos of turkey crowns now. They're all going to have a turkey sandwich to leave. They've all got a change of clothes. I've got underwear sitting under my desk for people. It's mad. It's great.
and we spoke to each other for People United Day, and that was cracking. This is taking it to a whole new level. I mean, the community side of the club, it's really coming into its own in the last 5 months or so, I have to say. There's other things in the pipeline as well. Obviously, there's the Toy Story collection today yeah. as well. Big Coat Day, which is a standard thing we've been doing yeah. there. But there's other events taking place, like the disability stuff taking place yeah. on the 3G. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
It's Tom Conroy's project, that. So our sports development officer has been working on engaging with Manchester FA and working with their disability inclusion. They've got a small pot of funding to be able to offer this out for free initially and try and look at getting a decent number of people attending, and hopefully look at sustaining it through paid people paying a quid or whatever to turn up. But it's not specifically looking at only disabled people using the service. It's more about inclusivity, so you know, having able-bodied and disabled-bodied playing together.
Well, Andy Cheshire, thank you for your stunning work over the last 6 months or so, and you have a lovely Christmas. Good luck on Christmas Day, and we'll be speaking to you in the new year.
Thank you, yourself as well. Cheers.
Ben there speaking with FC United Community and Education Manager Andy Cheshire before Saturday's match with Boston United. And it is to that match that we turn to now, as FC United hosted the Pilgrims at Broadhurst Park on Saturday afternoon in the league. To hear now how Carl Margeson's men got on, it's now time to hand over to the FC Live team.
Welcome back, Swampy. Happy Christmas. How are they?
I'm absolutely fine, thank you very much. Looking forward to listening and watching.
So just to let you know, this is a game of football. Okay, this is the square pitch here.
Right.
This is Moston, which is the home of FC United. We're currently 12?
Ben, 12? Ben,
12.
Ben, Ben,
12.
Ben. I've been away for 6 months, not 16 years. 6 months. And as you well know, very well know, I've been keeping up to date with everything that's been going on as we've been doing our own radio show, the Red Rubber Radio Show, for the last 16 weeks. So apart from putting names to faces, that's the only thing I'm going to have to do this afternoon, but looking forward to a good game of competitive football. 12th versus 15th, 5 points separating the two teams this afternoon. And I have to, it'd be very remiss of me not to say, first and foremost, a very, very big hello to the Chinese branch. And
the largest branch FC United have, I believe.
They are now, yes. 73 members of the branch, and a big hello to all my comrades and friends over in the Middle Kingdom. And just to let you know, Fan Ming, we are going to look at trying in the next week or so to be able to broadcast through WeChat for you, so you can get My Dulcet Tones, James Quinn's Slow Beautiful
Chats.
Rhetoric and Chat, and hopefully we'll be able to do that through WeChat. So for the Chinese branch and anyone in the world that want to go through the WeChat platform, we might be able to do that in the next week or so.
So the Chinese branch is now this decade's Tameside branch. I think that's right. We're right in saying that they're massive, absolutely massive.
They're a large branch. And they live all over China. They're not all just based in Shanghai. When I was over there in the first couple of weeks, we had a branch meeting and a lovely meal, and people had travelled 1,400 kilometres. To meet Estelle.
Is that like from here to Salford Precinct?
Yeah, it's pretty much it. So yeah,
I'll never get that time back on the 52 bus. It took ages. Anyway, welcome to FC Live. We've got another special surprise for you coming up as well. But we've got the team news. Boston, obviously, they've had a change of manager.
A very young manager, only 35 years of age. Mansfield Town.
And FC United, obviously, we're coming into this with a couple of issues. Chandler's got a hamstring issue. Tong is a bit poorer, so we wish them both well.
Yeah, of course, getting better. And, we'll start, as it's customary, with the home team, FC United and Manchester this afternoon. In goals, it's Dave Carnell, Jake Williams, number 2, Tom Brown, number 3, Harry Winter, number 4, Scott Kay, number 5, Luke Ashworth, number 6, Jason Gilchrist, number 7, Sam Sheridan, number 8, Tom Greaves, number 9, Jerome Wright, captain this afternoon, as he always is, number 10, and George Thompson, number 11. On the bench for FC United and Manchester, it's Gareth Arneson, number 12, Sam Baird, number 14, Michael Jones, number 15, Kasimba Kasamba, number 16, and Kieran Glynn, number 17. So a very, very young bench here this afternoon for FC United and Manchester. FC United playing in red shirts, white shorts and black stockings, together with the goalkeeper, Dave Carnell, in green. And the visitors, we welcome you if you're a Boston fan listening, but also Boston have their own radio...
BBC
radio, something or other, to the right side. But their lineup, Ross Durant in goal. He is signed yesterday, actually, from Ilson. And Carlin Thomas, number 2, Ben Gordon, number 3, Josh Robinson, number 4, Joe Maguire, quality football is Joe Maguire, number 5, centre-half. Charlie Gatto, again, he's on loan from Burton Albion. Jay Rollins, number 7, Callum Chippendale, number 8, Lewis Hillard, number 9, Greg Smith and captain, number 10. You can expect him to really get busy in front of the centre-halves of FC United this afternoon. Marcus Marshall, number 11. On the bench, it's Ben Clapperson, Liam Colley, Wade Fairhurst, Jason St. Just and Michael Emery. The away team playing in amber shirts, black shorts and amber socks.
Now, we're always welcoming new talent here to FCUM Radio. And a couple of weeks ago, for those people who listen to Women's Team Live, we trialled a new commentator who spent most of the match eating chicken wings and sandwiches. But we thought, you know what, let's give him his debut on the big stage. Roy Sewell, are you there?
I certainly am, Ben. Thanks for the introduction. And I've just managed to finish that chicken leg.
The first goal went in, he was eating a chicken wing. Can you believe it?
Well, to be honest, he's he asked me if I wanted a drink, and I said, no, I'm okay. But I just realised he's come back with
Vimto.
The influence that we have actually provided this club gives an opportunity for Vimto to be actually sold here at Broadhurst Park. Well, the teams are out. Today's referee is Mr. Paul Newhouse, and he's ably assisted by Mark Ryan with the red flag and David Fitzpatrick with the yellow flag. I mean, the big number 10, we're talking about Greg Smith, the skipper. He's a big, big unit. He's going to get into the faces you'd expect of the likes of Ashworth and Scott Kerr. They're going to be in for a real handful this afternoon, Roy.
Oh, they're in for a bit of a battle. He doesn't give up on anything. And, you know, for such a big lad, to be honest, he's quite decent in the air, so he'll hold his ground and he'll make that jump, keep the defenders off him, and then what we have to do then is look at the likes of Jay Rollins, who feeds off him excellently, very quick, very sharp, and will shoot at just the least amount of opportunity.
And you've actually been watching this team on a couple of occasions in your capacity as being working in the professional game. So you've got first experience of them recently, yes?
Yeah, they're a tidy unit, you know, regardless of where they are in the league, and maybe some of the mishaps that they've had, you know, in the cup against the likes of Witten. They can handle themselves. They're really, really well supported, you know. I mean, they have travelling fans on a regular basis, two coach loads, and, you know, they've just slipped a little bit from grace, but don't think they're a soft touch.
Free kick on this near touch line. It's going to be taken by the number two there, Carlin Thomas, ball into the penalty area. Actually, now he'll deal with it. And the second header comes in, and they need to clear the lines now. And it's a tentative shot there by the number 10, Greg Smith, and it ricochets off the shoulder of an FC defender and out for another corner. And well, FC United yet to have a corner in the game. This is, I think this is the fourth for Boston. And on 20 minutes, it's still 0-0 here. Free header comes in, opportunity now. Oh, and it's headed off the line because Carnell, well, it went through Carnell. And Jerome Wright, well, it always goes to prove a man on the line or a man certainly on the post is absolutely valuable, because that was in and Jerome headed it off the line. Harry Winter, well, he realises if he pulled him down there, it might have been a yellow card. He's going to show him the ball back, but doesn't. And it's good play by Rollins. And then lovely play by the number 8 on the penalty. He gets a shot away. No, he chips it towards the back post. It's an opportunity. Should be a goal, and it is indeed. And it was a great header by the number 10, but it was all the work of the number 8, really. Callum Chippendale there, absolutely superb with the ball. He held the ball outside the penalty area. He dropped his shoulder, went wide right. He chipped a lovely, delightful ball for Greg Smith at the back post. And Smith this time, as Ben said, he couldn't. He had a 50 pence head the last time he played, but this time he had a true pound coin and basically hit it into the top corner. There was nothing the goalkeeper could do. And that was, to say, a diagonal ball. Started on this near touchline. Again, good work from...
A great little reverse ball pass as well.
From Rollins, and then into the number 8, Chippendale. But it was good play by Chippendale and a great ball in. It was a lofted, inviting ball. And it's going to meet the header. Kay couldn't win it, but the big number 10 did. And FC United on 24 minutes go.
Yeah, he fell behind. Thumped it straight into the far corner as Carnell tried to scuttle across the goal. Like, you know, never got near it, and loads of power and direction in it. And Ben, you put the hoodoo on everything then.
Well, as we said, it's interesting to note Stato Paul as a mistake by the goalkeeper, and FC United trying to get himself a throw in. They did go a goal up against Fylde.
Yeah.
And it finished 9-2. Well, a corner ball for Boston, their fourth of the afternoon. Ball played short. And, are they going to get the ball to the penalty area towards the back post? They do. And two players go into the goal.
There again,
offside. It's offside. Ooh. And FC United have got away with it. If they'd actually left that, the ball was in. And the defender at the back post decided to just stab it in. I think it was the number 3, Ben Gordon. And, Ben Gordon's actually not helped his team there at all, because without that, it was 1-2-0.
And you are listening to FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. Half time here, and we're joined by Stato Paul and Mr. Stephen Woodsell. And just to say, lads, quite fortunate, aren't we, at the moment, to keep this score within catching distance.
This is Boston's traditional scoreline when they come to Manchester. They've won all four games previously coming to us, and they're also unbeaten in the area. They won at Altrincham, drew at Stockport, drew at Stalybridge.
But the thing is that it's all coming back to me. That game we played at their place, all coming back to me. This leaving Greg Smith in acres of space whenever the ball's coming in. And I said in commentary there, I remember this, he couldn't hit a barn door. And that was the reason why we were letting him win the headers, because there's no point trying to challenge him. Clearly, though, he can hit a barn door, because that goal was a cracker.
It was, yeah, but it's
and
obvious.
He should have had the other one, but unfortunately the guy tried to turn it in on the goal line.
Yeah,
it
was going in,
offside.
Yeah.
And there was that one. There was also a cracking save that Carnell did too.
One off the line.
And Jerome has to clear it off the line as well. So at the minute, it feels like, you know, it's not been a very good half of football, that, from FC. Can you think of any bright sparks, any bright spots, Steve? Thanks, Steve.
No. And you know what the annoying thing is? In their box.
Yes.
They've actually set us up three times with three poor defensive headers, and we've not capitalised on anything at all.
There was a moment there towards the end of that first half where
they bobbled around a bit.
They bobbled around and they were throwing bodies in the way, and they managed to concede a corner, which is much better than a goal. And they're all high-fiving each other. They were all dead chuck with that, and it was good defending. Yeah. And that there's a bit of a difference there between the two defences in that first half.
I'm not sure what, you know, this idea of playing statues at corners and free kicks that we still play.
It's the mannequin challenge.
Yeah. I know, we're always keen to see what the opposition are made of, but we do push it a bit too far.
It's something Roy picked up on, it's true. The balls were playing are very straight. There's no angles to the
And there's no subtle running into it. It's directly onto the head of a big bloke that stood there waiting for it, you know.
And the other thing to say is as well, and Jerome's been guilty of it, Sheridan's been guilty of it,
hanging around on the ball for far too long.
They're inviting the challenge, and then the clearance gets stopped.
So what do we need to do in the second half? Because it's
I think Gilchrist is wasted on the right hand side. Yeah. Really, yeah. That's the first thing I would say.
What do you do though?
Well, he's got to decide whether Tam Greaves ploughing the lone furrow up front is really going to be any productive. If we're going to play it long, we really need another body up the front.
The other thing you could do, I suppose, is if Lynn's fit, is maybe, you know, pull Greaves and put Glynn on the right-hand side. And
let me tell you the bench. It's Glynn, Kasimba, Jones, Baird and Arneson. So there's not much attacking width there, is there?
I mean, Sheridan is the only man who looks capable of unlocking this.
He's pinging some good balls over.
He is pinging some good balls.
And there's a couple of frustrating times when, on the left-hand side, we had a good position to get across in. And it was Harry Winter who was the most wide left person, which if I was a kid and I still had favourite players, probably Harry would be my top player.
Yeah, I think
but
so.
He's not a left sided midfield stroke winger for pinging crosses in. He should be down the middle. So
in the second half, it's going to be
it's a strange one, really. Yeah.
We are fortunate to be within touch of distance of Boston.
Yeah.
But we can't keep defending the way we're doing with Greg Smith. It's just not going to work, I don't think. He's destined
and
to score or set up another goal at this rate.
We're playing a team that shed four at Witten and nine at Fylde in the two previous games. And we've not really worked the keeper
yet. We saw this with Nuneaton. A change of manager and it's a different side. Boston played like this at their place, but they couldn't tie it all together, could they?
No, it's true.
Performance, but they showed flashes when we played them at their place.
Nuneaton is a strange one because we caught them in the league game the day after the manager taking over.
Yeah.
Quite possibly if that Saturday game had been on, we might have beat him in the trophy because it's only a week in. He had 2 weeks to work with him. You could see that they were a completely different side. Yeah, that does make a difference. Of course it does, and we seem to clock for them, and we're going to do the same again over Christmas. We're altering them. They've got an interim manager, and we're bringing in some new players.
Closing thoughts.
We need to. I mean, sometime we can speak at half time and say, you know, all we need to do is maybe just tweak this, tweak that.
We need to change a lot here, don't we?
Something needs changing as opposed to actually tweaking, and I don't know what it is because, like I say,
and maybe not the 70-minute mark.
Maybe not the 70-minute mark.
Which seems to be the pattern.
I'm confident that, you know what, I think the second half's going to book the trend. We're going to score early instead of conceding early.
You know what, before Greg Smith scored, I said to Roy, don't worry, he couldn't hit a barn door.
No,
yeah.
The thing is, he's not a great footballer. I mean, you could see when he was trying to catch up Giroud at one point, and he just gave up halfway. He was like, I can't do this.
He got a stitch. Anyway, Steve Wood, thank you for joining us.
No problem, any more jokes, I'll think of something next week.
thank you, Steve.
Thompson, I think that's his third touch in the second half. Plays the lovely ball though, and it's picked up by Jake Williams. Williams first ball to the penalty area. Good defending there and a corner ball.
Yep.
And it was good play by Tom Greasy. He realised the ball was coming short and he got across his man, made the defender Gordon make the header, and FC United get themselves a corner ball. The first of the second half, 1-0 down. We've played 27 minutes, of which 10 haven't been played because of floodlight failure. The ball comes across, who's on the end of it? It's on the edge of the area now with Thompson.
Strike.
Thompson shot. Oh! Well, Thompson, I thought had initially taken just a touch too much, but he hadn't, and he drilled the ball across the goalkeeper into the bottom right, bottom left hand side, right hand side of the goalkeeper, and FC United back on level terms.
And to be honest, I mean, a little bit of individual opportunism there off Thompson. He got the ball, the second ball clearance from across. Moved it and shifted it to his right and hit it so low it just went through an absolute ruck of legs, and the goalkeeper didn't see it until late, and it's nestled itself in the far corner.
It's the end of the game.
Yep.
And a game of football, I think you'll find the two teams very similarly matched, two teams that are both in positions in the division where you would say they're going to be comfortable. Obviously, there's 5 points separates the team still. And FC United probably will stay in 12th position, or maybe, depending on what our results have gone, might slip down a couple of places. But in a game of football here this afternoon, an average game of football, Roy, but there was a lot of endeavour. There were some one-on-one personal battles. And for that reason, it wasn't a bad game of football in the end.
No, it wasn't. It warmed up, for the last 20 minutes or so, didn't they? When FC actually had a little bit of belief that they could do things, and the main person who instigated all that was Sheridan. He was looking for those little diagonals that the game had been screaming out for in the first half,
and instead of this, you know, ping pong style that was going on all the time. And he was the one, you know, that started to open the door. And on all the occasions that FC had to actually have a strike on goal or create a goal opportunity, he was the one that was involved in them all.
He was indeed, and special mention also to Jake Williams, who had a terrific game of football. And you know, as from an individual perspective, you win your battles, as you say, individual battles. The Boston team were all having their one of those Celtic huddles. The manager having a chat to them, and then, you know, he's can see this Boston team getting better and better as the season go. Both teams, as far as I'm concerned, very safe in this division this season. I can't see any problems for either of them. And
what he's working on, you can see what he's working on. He's working on camaraderie and you know, and team spirit, and you know, we stay as a unit. Everybody's part here. We don't leave anybody behind. That's what
apart
he's working on.
Apart from the guy
who's
actually been left behind.
Yeah, they have left him behind and all, haven't they? But, you know, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to build, you know, a feeling and a purpose to, you know, for the players to follow and be part of.
Yeah, yeah.
Considering Boston have got a new manager who's had his feet under the desk now for a week or so, coming with his ideas and that kind of thing, it could have been very easily like the Nuneaton match we played in the FA Trophy, where they just caught us out by being a lot better than they were the last time we played them.
Yeah, I mean the game itself, I mean, it's, you know, my first game back watching it actually rather than the highlights and listening to the radio on a regular basis. And, you know, there were two quite evenly matched teams. The two teams that basically aren't going to, this season, do anything other than stay in the division. Hopefully both improve with a bit more quality, and as the season progresses, you know, bringing in younger players, like something from an FC perspective. And I think moving forward, certainly from a Boston perspective, I mean, as I said, they've been, you know, a Football League club 7 years ago to where they are now. Their plan there really is to be in this division for next season, moving into their new ground, and make sure that they've got, you know, a football club that is a decent standard. And you can see with their manager, he's going to change things around, he's going to work with them, he's going to, as Roy says, the camaraderie, we're all in it together, we get out of this mess together, we battle together. And from FC's perspective, I thought there were some good performances there. The back four really today, I thought, performed, you know, I thought they performed well, because certainly from McKay, there was no calamities. Didn't seem any real panic in the defence today from FC. They weren't making mistakes. There was no forced errors. They were actually seemed to be working well. I thought Jake Williams was excellent. I thought Girona, the left-hand side, did a decent job against a good player. And, you know, that battle started in the very first seconds of the game. And I thought both Ashworth and the calming presence of Kay, because Kay is a calm footballer, and he also had against a big, big unit who he contended with. He got a yellow card. I mean, you're going to get a yellow card. You get it in the 89th minute, Roy, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't get it in the first 2 minutes.
No. Nope.
And he's done, for that reason, he's done very, very well. So I've been...
But it's something we've been saying now all season on Red Rebel Radio. It's we're going to be all right. It's going to be... It's mid-table what we're dealing with here.
No, no question about it.
You have to... The wheels have to drop off completely for you not to be safe. End of story.
Not a great game of football, but an enjoyable game of football. There was entertainment.
Well, it's been even,
certain ways. It was very, very even.
And it's been even, like, you know, through periods. Like, you know, say the last 15 minutes was FC.
Yeah.
The first 20 minutes was Boston and FC, you know, locking arms and, you know, trying one another out and trying to find a weakness, giving the ball away on so many occasions, both teams, you know. But
the second half, though, to be fair, I mean, when you talk about the first half, they should have had four goals, really, with the one cleared off the line, the offside, the one that was saved
by
Canales.
The offside changes the game, I think, because if they go 2-0 up there, then, you know, it's hard to get back. And, you know, we a little bit of luck for us, which is good. I mean, I'm sure, you know, it'll come and go in the season.
Say it. Balances out over a season.
It doesn't balance itself out the season, does it? It's nonsense.
It is nonsense.
I mean, football cliches are the most nonsensical thing in the world.
We've got Alti next on Boxing Day. Well, Alti today got beat 3-0 against Stockport.
Well, I'm going to see them on Tuesday, which will be a very different game for them because it's the FA Trophy. They're playing a higher team for the conference. So you can expect a different kind of game there. But Boxing Day, you know, Alti versus FC, there'll be a big crowd there. You know, you'll be looking forward to that. Alti, as I say, you're expecting 800 to 1,000 FC supporters to be there. United are at home on the same day as well, so it's going to be an absolute nightmare to get there. but, you know, Altrincham at this moment in time are dead and buried. They're on 7 points, and it's going to be a miracle for them to get out of the situation they're in. They've not won at home all season. Let's hope on Boxing Day it's not FC United, because we are quite generous with our Christmas spirit and cheer, aren't we, by giving points to other teams.
And on that note, welcome back to FC Live, Swamper. It's been
a joy
having you. Welcome back to FC Live, Roy.
Thank you, Ben.
It's been a pleasure having you. And welcome back, dear listener, to the SAS. Here they are. big thank you to Statle Paul and Steve Wood at halftime as well. But from everyone here at Broadhurst Park, it's finished FC United and Manchester 1, Boston United 1. And you have a merry Christmas. You've not even wished everyone a merry Christmas.
Well, you were wrapping
up. Come on.
Okay, well, it's just whatever you do, enjoy the festive period and the festive season. Enjoy yourselves, everybody. And be happy, love one another.
And I wish you a merry Christmas.
Go on, give him a hug. Give him a hug.
Give him a hug.
Give him a hug.
I'll give him a hug. I can't get my arms around him. Is that...
Goodbye, everyone. Take care.
Bye, listeners.
Bye-bye.
Ben, Swampy and Roy Sewell there from Saturday afternoon. After the match, Ben caught up with FC United manager Carl Margeson.
So, Carl, a point after that one. What did you make of the game today?
I thought we were a lot better second half, first half. I thought we were off it a little bit, possibly down to the enforced break that we've had. Thought second half we got to grips with them, and on another day, you know, possibly deserved to win it. But Boston are down there fighting for their lives. New manager coming in, all them aspects. You put them together, and at the end of the day, we've managed to get a point out of it. Would have liked all three, but there you go.
In the first half, they had. It was similar to when we went to their place. Greg Smith was dominant in the air. One cleared off the line, an offside. It was touch and go at one point, yeah, but a much better second half.
I thought we were nowhere near it in the first half. You know, we didn't lay a glove on them. But second half, I thought it was much more like what we can produce. You know, we gave them the goal, and then they've got something to hang on to. And when you're down there fighting for your life, then... you'll have to hang on to that as much as you can, but great spirit from our lads. Good to keep going, you know, when we've hit the post, and then Jason Gilchrist has had an half decent chance that's just gone past the post. You can tend to think it might not be your day, but the lads stayed strong and managed to get a goal.
For us to make some changes coming into this game, obviously Jake Williams came back in. He was my personal man of the match. I thought he had a great game, but as did Sheridan as well.
Yeah, you know, the two lads who haven't, played regularly as they probably want to because of one thing or another. But performances like that sharpen my mind and make sure that they stay at the forefront of it.
Now we heard about Chandler, we've heard about Tong, Wolfenden as well. He looked like he had a bit of a limp there. Dead leg. So where are we up to with injuries going into this busy Christmas period now with these two matches against Celtic?
Hopefully we'll start getting them back. Nathan Lowe's been training now fully, so he's looking to get back. Kieran Glynn had a stomach bug the other day and wasn't fully fit. That's why he started on the bench. So we're not too bad. We're looking all right, I think.
And your preparations for Alti, these two matches, very, very important. They're in a bit of flux at the moment, to say the least. It's got banana skin written all over it, I'll be honest. But what are you expecting from Alti?
Well, we've got to make sure there is, and we've got to, that we go there and apply ourselves in the right manner. And if we do that, like we always say, we'll take it, whatever comes our way. But we've got to go there first and foremost and make sure we put the hard yards in.
Well, Carl, on behalf of the listeners, thank you for coming on the podcast in 2016. And you have a lovely Christmas, and we'll see you on Boxing Day.
And everybody, cheers.
FC United manager Carl Margeson there, following FC's 1-1 draw with Boston United on Saturday afternoon. To find out now where that result leaves FC United in the league table, and for all the other results from a busy Saturday in the National League North, it's now time to hand over to Marv Willers for Marv's Sports Report.
Thank you, Cockers, and welcome everyone to this week's edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. And that point for FC United takes the Reds into the festive period in 12th position, 8 points clear of the relegation zone, but only 3 points off that magical 11th position. Higher up the league, and AFC Fylde moved powerfully to the 50-point mark after a comprehensive 5-1 win at Gloucester City. The other top five sides all met each other on Saturday, leaving Kidderminster Harriers second, 7 points adrift of AFC Fylde, after they beat Darlington 2-1, while Chorley and Tamworth shared a 1-1 draw at Victory Park. Salford City had the chance to move to within a point of the top five, but they were also held to a 1-1 draw, that one against Alfreton Town. Stockport County are looking dangerous and moved level on points with Salford in 7th, after a 3-0 Edgeley Park derby win over bottom side Altrincham. And Altrincham's hopes of avoiding what's looking increasingly like back-to-back relegations weren't helped by third bottom Bradford Park Avenue earning 3 points against Brackley Town. Elsewhere, and a strike right at the death denied Telford their second away league win of the season as they drew 1-1 with a now 8th-placed Halifax. Harrogate slipped further away from a top five spot when they were beaten 1-0 at the Tameside Stadium by Curzon. And finally, Nuneaton. They moved up to 15th in the table, but still only 3 points above the drop zone after beating second bottom Stalybridge Celtic 2-1 at Liberty Way. And that concludes this week's Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Ho, 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 and a Merry Christmas, one and all.
Thanks, Marv. FC United return to action on Boxing Day next week as FC travels south to take on bottom of the league, Altrincham. Kick-off on Monday afternoon will be at 3 p.m. and the address for the ground is Moss Lane, WA15 8AP. That's Moss Lane, WA15 8AP. But remember, if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air on Monday afternoon from 2:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.
Do you sometimes feel lonely? Do you long to be a part of something meaningful? Is your marriage no longer giving you the get up and go that you crave so heavily? Well, why not become an FC United member? It only costs £12 a year and you will then own an equal share. FC United is a not-for-profit organisation and your membership fee goes directly towards the running and progression of the club. We are all living in tight times, but ask yourself, do I really need that Xbox game? Do I really need to get the car fixed or to pay my electricity bill? Are my kids' school books really that important? I think you know what to do. Log on to the official website now at fc-utd.co.uk and spend money on something meaningful for once. FC United, a family club.
Welcome back to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. To the women's team now, and on Sunday afternoon, manager Luke Podmore took charge of the Reds for the first time as FC United travelled to Cheshire to take on Northwich Vixens. To hear now how FC got on in this one, it's over to Ben Hughes with more.
Well, thank you, Cockers, and the FC United and Manchester's women's team end 2016 in the league in winning ways, collecting 3 points at Northwich Vixens on Sunday afternoon following a 2-0 away victory. There was an early goal from Chelsea Patient and that was followed later on in proceedings by a strike from Beth Tattersall. And because league leaders Merseyrail Bootle weren't in action on Sunday, that result means that FC United now joins them back on the same number of points, 31 points up at the top of the league table, with Merseyrail Bootle obviously having a game in hand. But a positive outcome for FC United and Manchester's women's team manager Luke Podmore in his first time in charge of FC United on Sunday. And joining me now to discuss this 2-0 win for FC United against Northwich Vixens from Sunday afternoon and the women's team more general, we're now joined by the manager of the FC United and Manchester women's team. It's Luke Podmore.
Hi Ben, evening, you all right?
I'm all good, mate. Big congratulations for today's result, your first match in charge. Cracking result.
Yeah, really, really pleased. You know, we had a good training session on Wednesday going into the game today. We knew it was going to be a tough fixture with the conditions and obviously we were playing on grass. But yeah, the girls, you know, they worked the socks off. You know, every player, whether they're on the pitch for
90 minutes or no minutes, you know, the positivity was brilliant to see, you know, and that certainly helped us grind that difficult 2-0 win out today.
And it's an important result. Obviously, we know about last week's result against Merseyrail. It was important to bounce back. Northwich, it had banana skin written all over it today, didn't it, really? But you must be dead chuffed with the way the players have responded.
Yeah, absolutely. And I said that to them in the dressing room before the game. I said, you know, these are looking at us and thinking this is probably the best time to play us. But they, unfortunately, Brixton didn't see the training session on Wednesday. And I said to them, you know, it's the worst time to play us because, you know, you're looking to get out of your system. And, yeah, potentially banana skin, but you know, they dealt with it well.
Now, obviously, yeah, You've come into it midway through the season so far. Because of that win today, I don't think Merseyrail had a game. I think their match got postponed. So you're back on joint points with Merseyrail. What's your expectations now? I know you've only just come into the club, really, but what's your expectations now for the remainder of the season? Is it to keep that pressure on Merseyrail and to see what can happen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I said to the girls before Wednesday, I said, you know, this league is not over by any means. You know, there's difficult fixtures such as that one today. You know, I don't know if they've got to go there again or if they've got to go there this year, or, you know, there's difficult fixtures in this league that you can slip up at any time. All we've got to do is just focus on what we can do. Come the last game of the season, which is currently a bit of a game away, we are within touching distance of them, goal difference-wise and, you know, points-wise. And, you know, if we can get there, you know, who knows what will happen on that last day. It'll be a fantastic occasion.
Now, you've coached the side before back in 2012 in those pioneering days, let's call it, on like Bound Road playing fields. But you've gone far since, obviously managing with a great deal of success at Preston North End. What's your expectations for the women's side of the football club in the immediate future and then going forward as well?
I think, you know, we've got, you know, the talented players. We've got some real talented players there. I think we do need to sort of come together a little bit more and make a few additions to bring the standard up a little bit. It will make, you know, a thriving team is a good team. And I think that in the immediate future this year, you know, ideally, you know, we're very, very close to the top of the league, and I'd like to see if we can do it this year. You know, I still think it's possible. The players have got to believe that. And then moving on from there, we need to, you know, hopefully get a group of players together, a core group of players together that we can work with, you know, because the talent's there to move up through these leagues. And I'd like to see us, you know, reach the Women's Premier League Division 1 in, you know, in about 4 or 5 seasons. If we can really get, you know, core group players together and train with them on a regular basis, you know, with a development squad underneath maybe in the future to help support the first team. And that's what I see the women's side doing. You know, we can really grow something and carry the sort of fly the flag for FC on the women's game. And like I say, hopefully have some success.
It's one thing we picked up on this season in recent weeks. Obviously, we played Liverpool Marshall Feds reserves a couple of weeks ago in the league, and we were saying it'd be good if there was an FC United reserve side at this level of the game, and the first team could be where Liverpool Marshall Feds are, if not a bit higher, and that's what we've got to be aiming for, really, isn't it?
Definitely, you know, and that gives you the platform, and you know, you can drop players in who are coming back. You can also keep a squad happy as well. You know, you can offer people minutes. So, you know, people without minutes are not going to be in form, and then, you know, everything's geared towards your first team, you know, and that'll help us out massively in terms of keeping hold of young players. You know, they might not be able to compete with the experienced players yet, but if you keep hold of them for a year and you work with them, you know, you find yourself, you've got to play there for the next 5-10 years. And that's what I want to do. You know, that's what I want to put the blueprint down and hopefully get that off the ground, up and running, and then we can hopefully see us thrive.
Well, Luke Podmore, manager of the FC United and Manchester women's team. The bit of a mini winter break now, obviously. So on behalf of all the listeners, a big congratulations on your appointment. Have a lovely Christmas to you and everyone associated with the women's team. And we'll be seeing you for a prosperous new year in the coming weeks.
Thanks very much, Ben, on YouTube.
FC United and Manchester's women's team manager there, Luke Podmore, speaking to me on Sunday evening following their 2-0 away win at Northwich Vixens on Sunday afternoon, which leaves FC United in second position on the same number of points as Merseyrail Bootle up at the top. Merseyrail do have a game in hand, but certainly all to play for in 2017. The FC United and Manchester's women's team return to action on the 8th of January 2017. Happy New Year, everyone, as they host Altrincham Ladies. And of course, we'll be covering that live on Women's Team Live on Sunday, the 8th of January in 2017. But from everyone here in 2016 on the women's team desk, it's back over to you, Cockers.
And that's it from me for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear the show on Monday and Tuesday this week at 7:30 a.m, 12:30 and 7 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, have a lovely Christmas.